Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luca.
Hello, Swapped Nation, and a happy Friday. That's right, it's a day early because we're talking all sorts of Dominion stuff today, which is tomorrow. How the devil are you, Oliver Davis?
I'm ready, excited. That's what I am. I've got a 10K run tomorrow morning, if everyone's... Because we haven't really been able to talk about Wrestle Talk Get Better, seeing that you did Wrestle Talk Get Kidnapped for a bit. But yeah, I'm doing my first proper run. I've never physically travelled this far in under an hour without a car.
Wow.
Or a bike. Well, form of wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Are you excited for it?
I am, actually. I'm not nervous at all. That might change in the 15 minutes beforehand and I suddenly need to crap myself.
Are you doing podcasts or music?
I'm actually... this is going to make me sound like a tit. I'm actually meditating. So my meditation app I use has just coincidentally, a week after I start running because of the marathon thing I signed up for, they release all these running meditation apps in conjunction with Nike. It's like, well, I'll give it a go. And I did it. And I was like, that is actually more effective than music and podcasts. So podcasts, I have to be really interested in what they're talking about. Otherwise, I'm just focusing on how crap everything feels. And music, I slow down for slow bits of songs and speed up. So I don't think that's... I haven't found a way around that yet. So
because if you just played nothing but Slayer, you're going full pelt.
Keeping my mind in my feet and counting the steps. That's where it's at. It's actually pretty soothing after a while. You forget where you are. Your ego
great dissolves.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
What are you doing? Oh, we're hanging out tomorrow.
We're hanging out tomorrow night. You and I are going to an Aperol Spritz event over in Shoreditch, I believe. So it's very, very Poncy East London.
Trendy.
Trendy is actually the word I should have used, yes. So that should be quite fun. I'm looking forward to it, actually. With our wags. Going to go and hang out for a bit. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then Sunday, I think we're going to be doing some house stuff, taking some stuff down to the tip. All that kind of sexy jazz.
You do that all the time.
That's because we're building a house from scratch, more or less. And we've
is a massive overstatement. Well, the house is there.
The house is there, but we have had to tear everything out of it and start again from scratch. And we still have
not
finished.
From scratch.
Well, it is from scratch. We haven't torn down the foundation.
It just sounds like you're blit. If you say I'm building a house from scratch, you say I am sort of
laying it down brick by brick.
Yeah, it needs to be the inside of the house. We're completely revamping.
Fine. Well,
that's
we'll put it that way. Then, if you want to be a pedant
about it, sounds like you've gone into the forest with some cement.
No, that's what my brother does. I'm not interested in doing that. But yeah, so and then we're going to be doing that on Sunday, I would imagine.
Should we describe what this Aperol Spritz thing is? Because I think we're underselling it. It's going to have... So Aperol Spritz, I don't know how big a thing it is in the States.
I hadn't heard of it until two Christmases ago.
Yeah, so it's a popular Italian liqueur, I believe. Some kind of fizzy...
Orange.
Thing. Yeah, orange. And it's been a thing forever, but it's mainly a holiday thing. For me, Italians, I presume, it's all the time. And it's only really become a thing over here in the last 2 years? So they were, makes sense.
Obviously, I wasn't there, but they were quite frequent in Dubrovnik as well.
Right. Yeah, very European, it seems. And now, because they're kind of, they're trying to brand everything over here now and do these little cool events, they have turned a part of my girlfriend's work. So this is where she works and they've hired it out. They've made a little area where it is Aperol Spritz and the Aperol Spritz Lake, and you get on boats and you kind of go
is
around
that what
it.
Because I'll be honest, your girlfriend did forward this across to us in our little Facebook chat group thing. And I was like, cool, because my wife loves Aperol Spritz. And I was like, well, this sounds like it's going to be a really wicked day. But actually, when you click into the time review of it, of like what's going to happen, and their own website, it doesn't really tell you what it is.
Yeah.
So I was going because you guys had said you were going and we were going to join you. But it's a very, very bad at telling you what the actual event is.
I only know because she works there and she's taken pictures. So that's handy.
Yeah. Maybe they want to treat it like secret cinema. And they don't want you to actually see. You want to be surprised by what happens. But then we've just put this out in a podcast and ruined it for everyone.
And everyone listens to this.
Yeah.
But so that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Have you got any plans for Sunday?
Not in my head, no.
Catching up on Dominion?
Well, I'm going to watch Dominion on Saturday.
But the problem is, though, you've got like a run and then you've got an evening thing. And there's like 6 hours worth of show.
But it will start at 8. So it'll finish at 4.
But what time is your run?
It's at 9. And I'll finish it by like 9:05.
That's what I mean.
It's how long 10Ks take, right?
Yeah, it's a lot to cram in.
I'll be back by 10:30.
Okay, fair enough. Do you want to hear some correspondence? Because I know you've got something to tell us in the outro. So I've got some correspondence here. First up, Benjamin S. got in touch for some Agony Arts.
I forgot this was a segment.
Agony Arts.
Masters of the Agony Arts.
Absolute Agony Arts.
Yes, I said the wrong thing.
Yes. So, hello, Ollie and Luke. I'm a huge pod swafter, and I have learned you two are masters of the agony art. I have a major dilemma in my life, and maybe you guys can help out. So, I'm almost 20 and haven't been able to get a job better than a cooking gig at a local fast food restaurant. What makes it worse is that I live in a small town, so business is pretty limited, and where I work is the only place that'll hire high school graduates. I'd get out of this town if I could actually drive too, but I failed every single test I've ever taken. I'm socially awkward. Even my only I'm socially awkward. Even my only other co-worker just about absolutely hates my guts. I have repressed lust for one of my best friends too. She's athletic, smart, and a gorgeous Southern belle. I love her, but I've been friend-zoned real hard, and it's almost impossible to get out of there. She's my only real-life friend, besides this one kid who I'm pretty sure is only hanging around with me because he's a bit slower. I guess he's the only one that can really tolerate me, and what makes all of this worse is I live in a pineapple under the sea. Hope you can help
God
me some consistent agony arts for yourself.
God damn it.
So I got that email just before I was captured. And it really, really made me laugh. And I've been looking forward to doing that on the podcast.
I was struggling because I was thinking, well, I've got some funny things I can say, but now it's gone a bit serious and I feel really sorry for the poor chap. Okay, so this is SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
What were you going to say? Because I imagine you read it as legit, first off. Were you trying to think in your head, what can I say to this guy as advice?
Well, exactly. So I was like, man, save up the money you get and get a train. Like, you know, you're trying to find your next, like, you're just a small town girl. You know, just get on a train to anywhere. Like, that's what I would have suggested as a bit of advice.
I was thinking, just never act on that feeling for the girl, because it's not actual love. It's like horny teenageness.
He's 20 years old, though. It's more
than
a feeling.
He said nearly 20.
I suppose, yeah.
Any relationship you have before the age of 25, do you know your actual frontal cortex is not fully online until you're 25?
I met my wife when I was 25, actually. Well, I'm rather like we started.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I said this. No, it's but like, you weren't with her. So, and the same with me. I met my lady partner when I was 19, but we were very hardly knew each other, knew of her, but we didn't get together till we were 25. And that's when, I think that's when you're actually, 20s are a hard decade. because you have to make it by yourself.
But then what do you make of those who are high school sweethearts that marry, like, the first person that they ever sort of fell in love with? That maybe is, a university crush.
That is super sweet.
But you don't buy it.
I do buy it. I just think that, you know, you should experience more of the world. If I stayed with all the same... I was going to say with all the same friends I have. With all the, like...
which you have done.
Since I was 12. But I've got you. I've added, like, other people. But if I said, like, I see those occasionally. I am with my girlfriend a good... And you. Like, 90% of my time. And if I was around someone that much from the age of 15... You stop changing as a person as much as you would, and I think no one wants to be the person they are when they're 15.
No,
it's not the way for me, at least.
Okay,
but there are multiple sizes for everyone, aren't there?
Absolutely. We've got another email here. I've got a couple more to go through. Chet DeHart said, "Hey lads, this is back from when we were at Raw and SmackDown. I also saw the cheeky Nando's sign. Haha, it's a joke our generation can keep. A good mate of mine from Prague recently moved to Baltimore in the States. Surprisingly, there are a number of Nando's there and in Washington, D.C. I went berserk to know about this. My twin and I were in America, rushed to there. We needed our peri-peri and halloumi. Hashtag yes, please. Just had to drop in that footnote. Pardon if I'm being asinine messaging over Nando's. My mates and twins also all lost it in laughs when seeing the sign. I told them the sign's been on air before. Cheers, guys. I'm always tuning in. Love the pod. All the press you are. All the press you all creative." That was probably a bit of autocorrect there. "I'll run into you at the cinema soon. Enjoy Deadpool." Have you seen Deadpool 2 yet?
I have. It was very funny. Yeah? Loved it. I had feels as well. I think you'll hate it.
Well, I mean, I was told that if you didn't enjoy the first one, you probably wouldn't have enjoyed...
It's the same, but slightly not as good.
But I like Terry Crews. And
small role.
And I really like your man from Catastrophe.
Yes. Small role again.
Oh.
I thought it would be more of a team-up movie. That's my fault, and partly the trailers. It's not a team-up movie. That's one gag for 10 minutes.
Okay. I like Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin's fantastic in it.
But I don't like Ryan Reynolds or TJ Miller.
Or Deadpool,
more importantly.
Yeah, big part of the movie, that. I really enjoyed it.
Was, without spoilers, was the post-credit sequence as brilliant as everyone's made it out to be?
It's really funny, right? But as much as I love funny stuff, the whole film's funny. I prefer end credit sequences to be a super big cliffhanger. The best end credit sequence ever is Fast and the Furious 6, I think it's 6, is when Jason Statham, I've given it away, when Jason Statham runs down the Japanese guy.
Yeah.
Because that's like, oh my God, that is the go-home angle of Raw for the big pay-per-view, which is the movie that's released in 2 years. I don't, like, when people said, it's so funny and it's also the best, like, it's seriously the best, I was expecting, okay, so it's going to be really funny, and Charles Xavier is going to turn up and set up a new universe.
Yeah.
And it's just very funny. It's very funny, but it's just very funny.
Just very funny. Well, we've got one last email, because this one is timely, from our friend Phil Panabianco. This is our running man.
Ooh.
To coin an 80s movie term. Hello, Luke. How's your vacation going? Well, you know. I also hear... sorry, I'll try that again. I was excited to hear my email on Saturday's show. As for Ollie's question about running techniques...
With the hips.
Hips as well... Did he email this to you?
No, but that's what I said.
Yeah. Sidebar, sent this email to you so it wouldn't be deleted by Ollie. Hips as well as glutes are the powerhouses of powerhouses for running. A lot of people neglect both areas while running, causing them to be less efficient. However, there is a limit to this. If your hips aren't level, you'll notice yourself rocking side to side, i.e. each stride you feel, you're swaying towards the side arms of the treadmill. Another mistake is overusing hip action, causing yourself to tilt your hips sideways slightly. You'll notice your arms crossing... You'll notice your arms crossing across your torso. That's where I got confused. Otherwise, if you're using your hips to lift your knee up and then pushing it back down, keeping your leg bent so your foot strike right under your body, you will be all set. Also, focus on quick, light steps and try not to overstretch your stride. Any other questions or concern, don't hesitate to ask.
That is fascinating. I'm getting pretty deep into running technique now. because I always assumed you do. You know, you're watching me now. I'm running across my body. That's the way my arms want to go. I'm sort of punching to the left and right,
yeah,
underarm. But no, you relax your shoulders completely, because if you bunch them up, which weirdly happens when you're tired, that's going to be a less efficient way to run. But if those shoulders aren't relaxed properly, you'll be crossing. But I thought, oh, that's what you want to do, right? You want to create that momentum to the left, to the right. You kind of... No, you just go straight forward. You run like Tom Cruise.
Run like a Barbie doll.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's but that ties into what that means. So your hips don't go from side to side. They pivot, I guess, slightly. I just wish all my hip flexors weren't so tight.
Yes.
Because I probably can't do that.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about your 10K run on... Are we going to do an episode on Monday for Dominion?
We'll see how good it is.
We'll see how good
probably
it is.
Probably be the best show of all time. So potentially.
Potentially. But before we do get out of here, obviously we've got a whole show for you to get through.
You know, well, shouldn't we do the show now?
That's what I was about to say.
Oh, right.
I was about to... cut me off.
Sorry. I thought you were just going to do one big super intro.
No. I was about to throw to the show.
15 minutes in.
And then we were going to get your anecdote to go at the end. So enjoy the show.
And that was, of course, a facetious answer. And we're not talking about when Punk left WWE back in 2014. We're talking about this week, because when Punk did leave in 2014, he released a shoot podcast with Colt Cabana later that year, where, amongst many other things, he accused WWE doctor Chris Amann of clearing him to wrestle despite being injured and misdiagnosing a staph infection. Then a very long and protracted court case and defamation suit has happened over the ensuing 4 years. And over all that time they've had, the last 2 weeks is when this trial has run. It is just so happens that CM Punk has his second ever professional fight at UFC 225 tomorrow, so the Saturday, against Mike Jackson. And Punk has said in the past that he believes Vince McMahon and WWE are bankrolling a lawsuit against him. And that's, you know, through Chris Amann. Because a lot of people decided, or like speculated, Amann doesn't really have much of a case here. And that's kind of what transpired in the lawsuit. And now CM Punk has told MMA Junkie about whether the lawsuit affected his fight and whether he thinks it's WWE messing with him. A very broad answer is, it didn't distract me. I knew it was coming, and they delayed it as long as possible because I think they knew I had a fight scheduled. I think the general consensus is, wow, this is really going to mess with him. And then he sort of cuts. This is what I miss about Punk. His supreme confidence. I'm a different breed, though. I was planning for it, and we worked around it, and all the hard work was done anyway, so easy peasy. It feels like more of a load off my shoulders. It still hasn't sunk in. It probably won't for a while, but I'm happy it's over. So, yes, what do you think? Do you think this was WWE's way of getting to CM Punk for one more time?
Before we get into that, can I just quickly shake your hand? Because I think, is this the third or fourth Saturday Wrestle Ramble now you've managed to get CM Punk into the title?
Hey, people haven't said they don't want it enough yet. I do get it, because a lot of people are like, oh, we're talking about, why are you bringing up CM Punk? Someone's hungry for clicks, Wrestle Talk. At the start, yes, that. Well, you know, anytime CM Punk comes up in the news, we're going to cover it, because CM Punk is a big name. We're all excited about what he might do. I am. I'm a big CM Punk fan. But then, like, people started to say, all right, you're flogging a dead horse a bit here. I'm like, but he's in the news.
He is in the news.
He's possibly making his wrestling return for All In. He's had a trial against, effectively, WWE by proxy, and he's got his second ever MMA fight coming up this weekend. I think if we've ever been more justified of covering CM Punk, it is within the last 3 weeks. So screw you, Luke.
I didn't say anything. Yeah,
no, that was disingenuous, that handshake. I take it back.
Well, I liked it. I don't know, because it almost seems like it's that. It almost feels like it's that tinfoil hat thing to say, like, oh, it's WWE screwing with CM Punk. Mm. But you've got to look at it. The timing is quite suspicious. And this court case has been put off for some time now. You know, yeah. It kept getting pushed back. It just so happened that it fell into, you know, the time just before he had his big second fight, which is coming back off his first very publicized fight where he did get his ass handed to him. And I think a lot of people might be expecting the same thing will happen tomorrow. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that this is WWE screwing with him? Or B, do you think he's also going to get his ass handed to him on Saturday?
So I think he's going to lose. He's older, but he has been training a lot more. So, by all accounts, but he has had, like he says, it hasn't affected him. But I can't see how it can't.
Well, apparently when the verdict came in to say that they found in favour of Punk and Cabana, he and AJ cried. Yeah. And they embraced and they cried.
4 years. Absolutely. 4 years, man, of, yeah, like, I don't care how much money you've got and how confident you are in yourself. Having that kind of thing, even if they haven't got a leg to stand on, just the stress of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I get a little bit angsty when I've got an unpaid council tax bill. This is a defamation lawsuit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's underselling it. Maybe he does believe that because he feels like he has to believe it to get through this fight. But, man, I think come Monday, if it was me, I would be just like, oh, my God, wow, that was intense.
I would say as well that, you know, because it's not just CM Punk versus a defamation lawsuit. It's a defamation lawsuit, as you said, that is kind of by proxy against WWE. But WWE... I'm assuming weren't that involved in this.
Allegedly. Do we have to say allegedly?
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly,
well,
by proxy.
CM Punk believes that they bankrolled it. Mm. However, it clearly wasn't a WWE lawyer because, by all accounts, it was not a very good lawyer.
Yeah.
The lawyer read out wrong text messages, referenced wrong depositions, read from wrong depositions. There was at one point, apparently, when AJ Lee was on the stand and he showed her a text message saying, like, did you send this text message? She goes, like, no, Zack Ryder sent that. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, sorry, I meant... Did you send...
Yeah.
Should have known by that, really. And then, obviously, in the final speech that they gave... It was, you know, it went from $1 million to just under $4 million. So in my head, I've got, because I've got this kind of like, it's WWE by proxy, I'm imagining it's blue-haired lawyer from The Simpsons.
I was thinking the same with the whole team, yeah.
Exactly, so I'm thinking it's blue-haired
versus
lawyer.
Lionel Hutz.
But it turns out he had Lionel Hutz this entire time.
Sorry, I stepped on your punchline.
It's quite all right. Yeah, as long as I can get Simpsons references into this show, I'm more than happy.
It's a good point, but like, was the point to win, or was the point to
mess with him?
Just to dick around.
For 4 years.
I mean, that's 4 years of someone's life. Just like added up stress points. I'm surprised he's not got another staph infection just from stress. We cannot, of course, say this is just all speculation on our part, but going by what people have said... And it's just peculiar, isn't it, that these timing things keep happening? Because the last convenient bit of timing is that, not having spoken for 7 months, Triple H texts CM Punk and says, you know, can we chat about these release papers from WWE? And CM Punk goes, sure, yes, totally. I mean, that's Punk's version of events. Maybe there are a few more swears in there. But can we do it in 3 days' time? I'm literally getting married in 2 days to AJ Lee. And apparently Triple H says, yeah, that's fine.
Which, imagine Triple H did know because AJ Lee was still employed by this point.
And then CM Punk gets the termination letters from WWE through the post on his wedding day.
What a wedding present.
The guy is called the Cerebral Assassin. Couldn't be more plainer. I just... There seems to be a track record of allegations and an MO, and this kind of thing would definitely fit that more psychotically corporate part of WWE.
Do you think as well that because we are heading towards Money in the Bank, which is going to be from Chicago, are we going to be getting some heavy CM Punk chants throughout? Well, at least I'd imagine during the Roman Reigns Jinder Mahal match.
Okay, so this kind of brings me on to the other question I would like to ask about this.
Mm.
And this is, Punk's got his fight this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't expect him to win. And I feel like this is the last of the UFC fights for him. He could go to Bellator and be the kind of freak show attraction thing. But he seems to genuinely love fighting. And like some interviews he's given, it also genuinely seems like he's let wrestling go. And all this lawsuits and stuff and the 4 years, and I imagine the strain it's put on him and his relationships with various people cannot have been nice in the slightest. And did you see the interview with WrestleZone immediately after?
No, I did not.
He just looks tired.
And imagine, bless his
heart. And you know that like everyone goes like, screw CM Punk, he left us. Like, screw you, you entitled person. that's a human being and looks absolutely just beaten down from what must be a very arduous ordeal. And but once he's got this UFC fight out the way, maybe on Monday he thinks, I'll fight occasionally. But you know what? All that wrestling stuff, as much strain as it was, maybe I could get back at WWE. Maybe I don't just have to hear my name chanted in Chicago at Money in the Bank. I mean, what would be a bigger screw you than CM Punk turning up hard cam side in an all-in t-shirt?
Oh! I mean, yeah, he would never make it past security. They will have signs up for him.
They can't stop him, surely.
I don't know. I just imagine there's sort of like...
But they take people's signs away,
He's a walking sign.
Given people other T-shirts to wear. I'm sure that's happened before. But,
it would be incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That is, I mean, not just CM Punk, but Marty Skell.
Yeah,
Cody Rhodes,
the Bucks.
Just that robe.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I mean, it's not going to happen.
I was going to say, it's not going to happen. Let's not get too excited.
It fits in with their like guerrilla marketing thing. Yeah. I think they want to run this all-in show by themselves. But it's just perfect. Money in the Bank 2018 in Chicago. 7 years after the 2011 Money in the Bank where CM Punk walked out on the company in storyline. That magnificent pay-per-view and angle. And the match that really made him a star forever.
Really did.
The poetic symmetry is there and it'd be lovely. But again, I do feel like Punk might also be just done with everything.
Dave Meltzer's been saying, because a lot of people have been asking Dave on Twitter, do you think that CM Punk will make a return? Do you think he'll be all in? Do you think he'll be all in too? Do you think he'll make a return to wrestling? Do you think
More in.
Do you think the WWE will... you know, look to rekindle some sort of relationship with him? And Dave said, like, one of the tweets I did say that Dave replied to this is him speculating. I would imagine that Vince really wants him back, but Punk has zero interest in it.
Vince really wants him back. Triple H, I don't. Well, Triple H probably wants to bring him back to screw with him some more.
Exactly, man. If, as you bring it back in, he's like, yeah, man, we'll work together at WrestleMania card. It'll be great. And then he wins.
Because when Meltzer was talking on The Observer about the trial, he kind of said, like, Dave took the heat off of Vince and said, you know, most of the accusations and nasty things Punk said in that interview weren't about Vince.
Yeah.
They were about Triple H.
Pretty much. Mm. So before we move on from the CM Punk trial into some New Japan stuff, what is your favourite revelation from the CM Punk? What was your favourite moment from the trial?
So my favourite moment from the trial, I wish I could have watched more of it, is the NXT Wannabes WhatsApp group.
I knew that'd be your
that
favourite
they
one.
They had text messages in the deposition evidence bits for, and it was between Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, and Dr. Chris Amann. So you've got Jericho, Ziggler, and Ryder. Like, those, they're like kind of, they group together quite well. And just the fact that their WhatsApp name is NXT Wannabes, because those are like internet wrestling stuff. Like, that's what the Smarks would like us, you know, mm-hmm. more Smarky fans. We like those as wrestlers. And we like NXT. And it turns out that the wrestlers we like also like NXT. I just think that's a wonderful glimpse into just, it's just such a silly detail.
Such a silly detail. They're on the main roster. One of them has been in main events. You know, he's been on WrestleMania cards, but he really wants to be part of NXT.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't blame Ziggler and Ryder. Jericho just, I mean, he shows up everywhere else these days. What about you?
What's my favourite moments from the trial? Actually, you know what my favourite? It's the new way to describe WWE shows. So it's, we've known it as sports entertainment. Essentially, the WWE have just spent the last 50 years trying to recall anything other than a wrestling show. But this one is my new favourite, which is live event action movie.
So it's like one of those shows you take your kids to see at the O2, Marvel superheroes.
I was going to say, it's like the Indiana Jones stunt show that you get at Disney World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
New Japan Dominion is tomorrow. It's one of their biggest shows of the year, and they have stacked this card. Originally, we were only going to talk about the top 2 to 3 matches and just kind of give a preview and predictions for that. And I just kept on going further and further down the card. I want to talk about that one. Oh, that's a good match. Oh my God, Rey Mysterio's there. So we're just going to do the whole card. Are you looking forward to Dominion? It starts, what you said, 8:30 a.m.
8:30 a.m., I believe, yes.
So about like, I guess about 3 a.m. Saturday morning for people in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for me and my cereal.
Exactly. Head on over to New Japan World and get your subscriptions sorted out, because this is going to be a heck of a card. This is going to be a card that people will likely be talking about come the end of the year.
Yeah, because, okay, that will really become apparent in the second half of the card. But let's just do a quick rundown. Suzuki-Gun versus Roppongi 3K. Sho and Yo, fantastic. Best of the Super Juniors
so
tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
This is for the junior heavyweight tag team titles. So I think Sho and Yo are going to get it back off the back of, so they're not champions at the moment, off the back of the Best of the Super Juniors heat. Next up, we've got Taguchi Japan, which is Juice Robinson and David Finlay under the tutorship of Taguchi. Ricochet used to be in that faction and he's moved on, versus Chaos of Jay White and Yoshihashi. One of the weaker matches on the show, but it's just a sort of opening bout.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, but I mean, it is probably going to be a fine little match, but it'll probably have nothing on a match that I'm very much looking forward to, which is the next tag team match, which again is Chaos of Tomohiro Ishii and Tori Yano versus Suzuki-Gun of Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Oh, there are three men in this match that I absolutely adore, and this is going to be,
four people in this match you absolutely adore. It's just one is not like the others.
One of these is not like the other. And I adore the other three more than I adore, and I do love Tori Yano.
Well, that's it. We love Tori Yano. He's a comedy wrestler. Very good at what he does, though. But all the other three
I want his DVD.
Yeah. The other three are amongst the best wrestlers who have ever lived. Not just even today, but, you know, Suzuki, Ishii, and Sabre Jr., when all is said and done, will hopefully be up there. So, I mean, we saw Suzuki-Gun just the other month.
We thought they were going to be dropping the tag team belts.
Yeah, they'll probably come down with the Rev Pro titles.
Yes.
Their tag titles. But yes, it's an interesting dynamic, because Tori Yano, as a comedy figure, has a long-running feud with Suzuki, the scariest, most legitimate man in wrestling, more so than Brock. So have you seen the Dominion poster?
No, I've not.
So it's just, you know, like, it's a really nice kind of what do you call it, rotoscoped. But so it's like drawn, but it's obviously photos. And, you know, you've got Tanahashi there, and you've got Okada there, and Naito.
How good does his hair look?
Great.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's even Tanahashi.
Tanahashi on the card, right there.
And in the corner, like at the bottom, quite prominently featured, but he's just sitting down, is Suzuki, just chilling. He's the scariest.
He's
just relaxing. And I'm worried.
But when he's relaxing, that means he's thinking.
That means he's preparing for something.
Yeah.
That means he's at his most dangerous. but yeah, they've Tori Yano had, I think he's got quite a successful record in just like roll up victories over Suzuki as kind of a long running comedy thing. So yeah, this will be a really fun and very good wrestling match at the same time, I hope.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to that. Have you got a prediction?
No, I don't actually. I don't have a lot of predictions for this.
Back end, I think you will.
Yes.
But this is just, these are like the opener matches, which are just a bit of fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
Chucking big names in tag matches. Isn't it lovely where we can run through a card? Look, those first three matches are all tag matches. And you've got Suzuki-Goon, Chaos, Suzuki-Goon, Taguchi Japan. It's all factions, but there's different people in those factions representing the faction.
You love a faction, don't you?
I love a faction.
We're about to get into a faction again very shortly, but first we've got a three-way for the Never Openweight Championship.
Hirooki Goto, who's the champion, love Goto, versus Michael Elgin and Taichi. I don't really know Taichi.
No, I mean, Elgin and Goto I'm much more familiar with. But this will be... I always feel like with Elgin matches on New Japan shows that... I don't know, maybe this is just a bias I have against him. I just always feel he has the match that's like, yeah, it's fine.
Ooh, go back and watch the ladder match with Omega and his Naito match, which was at New Beginnings, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. He's great. He's had some controversies recently, but in the ring... I'm a huge fan of Elgin. I don't really know. It's for the Never Openweight Championship. Some of these, like, that's the big problem with New Japan. They've got too many titles. So I don't... It's not even that I don't know who's going to win. I don't care who's going to win that title.
Yes.
But this is a very interesting one next. LIJ, Sanada and Evil, the current IWGP heavyweight tag team champions versus the Young Bucks, who have just moved up
into a
from
new weight class,
junior heavyweights to heavyweights. Matt Jackson in particular has been packing on the pounds to look more convincing as a heavyweight. Sanada is a fantastic wrestler, as we saw in the New Japan Cup. Evil has a lot of charisma and is very good himself. This is going to be... I'm really looking forward to this.
And I think the Bucks are getting the win as well.
Do you reckon?
I think the New Japan would likely put the tag team championships on them in their first sort of like heavyweight championship.
On the first time of asking.
Maybe.
Well, that's the first Bullet Club match. Maybe it'll be Bullet Club's night overall. Maybe it'll be the Elite's night overall.
Are you talking about the main event?
Steady on.
Let's get there first.
Oh, God, I'm excited for this show.
Right, but what have we got next?
A six-man tag, which is kind
this
of like an exhibition match. I know. Tanahashi,
yep.
Jushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio versus the Bullet Club lineup of Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll.
I mean, the match will be 6 stars for Tanahashi's hair alone, but like it'll just be so much fun. I think it's going to be really great.
Yeah, you've got that. This is a real veterans versus sort of next generation match. This is the really good version of the end of this year's Royal Rumble match.
Yeah,
where you have Mysterio, Cena and Orton up against, was it Balor?
Reigns and Shin. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, Nakamura, yeah. So that's going to be a hell of a match. Doesn't really matter who wins, to be honest. Like, Bullet Club can lose this, and you can give Ray the...
It's
fine. Because yeah, Tanahashi's in that team.
It's funny as well, because I've seen a lot of people say, like, isn't this, like, what a waste of a Ray Mysterio appearance on a pay-per-view. But, like, my thinking more is just, like, man, what a great use of a Rey Mysterio, because that shows like how versatile New Japan is and how versatile Rey is as a wrestler as well, that you don't have to put him in a match against Naito or Ospreay or anything like that. He could just slot him into this six-man tag here with Jushin Liger and Tanahashi and be like, cool, yeah, now I really want to see that match.
Yeah, and this would just be that really has a story in my head for it. And I guess Ray's been injured. He was injured back in March.
Yes, because he couldn't make the Strong Style Evolve
show. So I don't know whether they didn't want to commit to a longer-term storyline with him. But at that Strong Style Evolve show, he did set up the feud with Marty Scurll and a partnership with Liger and Ospreay by extension, because Liger replaced Mysterio to face Ospreay at that show.
No, Ospreay replaced Mysterio because it was meant to be Mysterio Liger.
Sorry, yeah, that's kind of what I meant. But yes, just what a fun exhibition match that'll be. And maybe it does play into a longer term storyline for Ray, because it doesn't feel like he's going to WWE anytime soon. Speaking of Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi. Takahashi, of course, won the Best of the Super Juniors tournament that concluded on Monday, which Dave Meltzer awarded that final, which was Takahashi versus Taiji. Said that right, didn't I?
Yes.
5.5 stars.
And he would have scored it?
He would have scored it 6 if it wasn't so dangerous. So I haven't watched it yet. We're going to watch it for the Ramble Club.
I was going to say, yeah, we're going to do an in-depth review of that. So I'm really looking forward to checking out. I'm actually watching it tomorrow.
Are you?
Yes, it's one of my plans for tomorrow, is to catch up
on
that.
I might join you. We might sync up. We can go, oh, my God.
Exactly. So we've also got that Io Shirai match from Stardom to watch as well.
And we've also got
Buddy Murphy
205 Live.
Yes.
Good month for wrestling. And, who the hell knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Just as a bit of house cleaning for Ramble Club, we're going to change up the format to making it a top 5 matches every month, just so it's easier to kind of order, because at the moment it's just like us.
We sort of watch matches, but then sometimes we watch some really naff matches that probably weren't worth our time.
And we want to make it the best it possibly can be.
Yes.
And 4 episodes in, we're nearly at a format.
Nearly getting a format to it now. It is the rambliest of the shows we do.
Yeah, and there'll still be rambling. Don't worry. It'll just, the actual match part will be more structured, which makes it easier to do.
But not just that. What else is there?
Where is it? Where is she? Here is she. We are reading page by page Big Apple Takedown. At the moment, we're here. Look, I folded the place.
I know. It still upsets me. 26 pages in. Just get a bookmark.
I'm just going to read a random bit. Someone to handle your crew, Triple H said. Hiring, firing, permanent relocation, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Triple H is undercover at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's undercover.
He's posing as an IT consultant or something.
An IT consultant who's pose... Sorry, a gangster who kills people who's posing as an IT consultant.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So I lost my place. I was going to say, what we're going to try, and because it would be easier if we do that at the end of the month. We might do a mini Ramble Club, and then a full Ramble Club at the end of the month, and then go on from there.
Yes, we're going to switch up. So we're doing Ramble Club at the end of the month, and we're going to do the Wrestle Ramble Extra, where we review pay-per-views from wrestling's past in the middle of the month instead. At the moment, it's the other way around, but we might switch that up.
Because it just makes sense, because then we can do the whole month, and then people can go, oh, like, what was the best match, the top 5 matches in April? They just watched they listened to the April episode rather than 2 episodes, like a bit of March, a bit of April, a bit of May. Right, so Ospreay and Takahashi.
Oh, this match is going to be so good.
I'm really looking forward to it. But it's one I've seen quite a bit of in different iterations. So like Fatal 4-Ways, singles, and like those top 4 of the junior heavyweights: Ospreay, Skrull, Takahashi, Kushida. Good grief. That's incredible.
I can say Kushida's actually not on this card.
Mm. But I really would have liked
Taiji Ishimori.
Yes, okay, yes. Yeah, I did say it right. Yeah, Ishimori to win Best of the Super Juniors and be here, because then you've got that Bullet Club chaos dynamic that runs through
it's
the show.
Very true, yeah. I can get on that.
But I think Ospreay will retain.
Yes, I can see Ospreay retaining as well. I mean, I know he has aspirations of going up a weight class as well, because one of his big dreams, I suppose, before he gets too old. Mm. Although I suppose he can even do it in his older years. But he wants to be able to headline a Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome. But to do that, you have to be in the heavyweight division. So I think that he is perfectly suited. I'm kind of subscribing to the Don Callis approach to Ospreay at the moment, which is like, hey, the style of wrestling you're doing is fine, but you won't be able to do it in your 30s. So, like, just do it now, kids. But yeah. Less of those Spanish flies on the apron.
We're going to get like 5 of those into a sunset flip powerbomb that Takahashi does off the apron too.
Because the Spanish fly is like the new DDT in the super.
The new dive.
Exactly.
The new dive is reverse 450 splashes. What's the ceiling? Then we've got just like a match that feels like it's had a very long build, but it's kind of snuck up on us in the weeks now. Tetsuya Naito versus Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes, yeah, so this is actually Jericho's second New Japan match and his second attempt at a championship as well.
Oh, because it was for the United States title beforehand. I mean, this is very exciting. I'm a huge, huge fan of Naito.
Who isn't?
Jericho has been great in his New Japan version of his character. And it'll be interesting because the Omega match at Wrestle Kingdom this year, we all thought, well, it'll be a one-off. And if it isn't a one-off, maybe Jericho will win and continue to do things. But he lost, but then he turns up the next night at New Year's Dash and starts this angle with Naito. In the middle, he's done the Greatest Royal Rumble, he's done the Raw 25th anniversary, but he does have this cruise coming up.
He certainly does.
And I've got to think, like, Impact has been announced for this cruise, Ring of Honor have been announced. What if Jericho wins the Intercontinental Championship and through the Don Callis connection turns up on Impact?
Well, here's the thing. So I was wondering if they were going to do, say, Jericho and Callahan for the cruise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but as you said, like, if he does win the Intercontinental Championship and then defends it against Callahan, Impact's Callahan, on the cruise ship.
Yeah, I don't know how you tape that, or would you want to tape that?
You don't need to tape it, I suppose.
I just picture, like,
everyone rocking
it, going like this in a boat. I don't think that's how ships
work.
It's
very interesting. With your motion sickness, could you go on a cruise?
No.
I was wondering if you and I wanted to go on the Jericho cruise.
I got sick on the ferry to France.
Oh, mate.
Oh, yeah, very bad at that. So we're both going for Jericho, are we, to win?
No,
the
title? I think I'm going Naito. I'm sticking with Naito.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Jericho.
Well, I said Jericho at the last time. I thought he was going to beat Kenny Omega. Mm. But I think I'm going to stick with the Naito thing here.
But
as we've seen, I'm very bad at predictions.
Here is the key match.
Isn't it just?
The fourth meeting, which a series that has an average star rating of 6 stars.
Yes.
And they're 3 matches in. Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega. Okada broke the amount of successful title defenses, the longest reigning. He's just like the records man for New Japan. He is the IWGP heavyweight champion. Is this when he loses it to Kenny Omega on the fourth time of asking? It's a no time limit 2 out of 3 falls match. The reason it's a no time limit is because in their second match at Dominion last year, one of the best matches of all time, it went 60 minutes and it ended in a draw. We have literally just watched for Wrestle Ramble Extra the Judgment Day 2000 main event, which was a 60-minute Iron Man match between Triple H and The Rock. That was freaking incredible. I think they're at least going 70 minutes.
As I said, they're well going past the hour mark here, and like the second match of their series that they have had, the one at Dominion last year, is easily my favourite match of these two have had. I thought it was so good. They have got a very high bar here that they are going to try and vault over. And Spanish Fly, you know. I could see them very much getting past what they have done previously. But, man alive, there's so much expectation for this match that you almost have to worry if it's going to end up being the AJ Shinsuke Nakamura WrestleMania thing of everyone's going like, it's going to be the match of the year. It's going to be a match of the year contender. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. And then it end up being like everyone going, actually, I'm not sure that was all that good. That no one's going to come out of this going like, not sure that was all that good. But are people going to watch this and be like, I mean, it wasn't as good as last year. or it wasn't as good as Wrestle Kingdom, or it wasn't as good as the G1. Like, even if it's like, even if it's the fourth best of their four match series, is that going to kind of put a dampener on this?
It depends on the result. Because if the story they've told, Okada won the first one for the title, they drew the second one for the title, the third one was in the G1 Climax tournament, and Omega won. Yeah. So this is a drawn series right now. And Okada has passed all these accolades. I don't mind it. This is the great way they've booked this feud. If Okada wins, I'm happy for Okada because he's just this incredible champion. If Omega wins, I think now's a good time for that to happen for a title change. And, you know, if the Young Bucks win earlier in the night, that's the whole elite of the Bullet Club just there in the middle to sweeten each other with the top titles in the company.
Yeah.
So even if that could be a way round it not being, it only being a 5.25 star match.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Is to have the ending of Omega winning. I cannot wait for it. I'm really, really bloody excited.
Do you think Kenny's winning?
It's really hard to say. It's like daylight between them. I'm going to say Omega.
I think I'm actually saying Omega as well. I can see them that this is the time to do the title change.
Well, I'll try and record something on my phone from home on Saturday if it is big enough. Or I might be crying. I'm just sweaty. It's crap gimmicks time, Luke.
It is indeed. And because I have been busy today with some business, you are going to do the crap gimmicks this week.
So I have. I've selected some.
Thank you to everyone who has sent them across to luke@wrestletalk.com. Those ones I'll try and feature next week. I do have a massive backlog at the moment. But I did mention this on the Wednesday podcast. As a bit of advice, I would say, if you're trying to impress the booking team here for the crap gimmick roster, when you're doing your email subject line, don't say, this is the best crap gimmick, you won't be able to turn this down. Because that just instantly puts me on a back foot, just being like, I'm just going to turn it down just to prove you wrong.
You don't want to set the bar, like, those expectations like that.
Yeah.
And we open the email and it's all in caps lock, do we? It's, yeah, just say, this isn't very good. Be humble.
Be humble,
this
man.
This isn't a very good crap gimmick. Ooh, I'll be the judge of that. This is pretty good. Or not, as the case might be.
Hey, man, you may find the next crispy bacon.
Mm. Oh, well, you weren't here for BLT.
I did hear BLT through the walls.
Yeah, because you were
and
trapped in the closet.
Very confusing.
Well, actually, maybe we shall start off with BLT.
Because I felt like they just ran out of ideas.
So Joel Bevan, just as a recap, Joel Bevan submitted maybe two Saturdays ago, a faction called BLT, Bacon, Lettuce and Tomato, with a tag team called Bread, who are made up of two guys called Brian and Ed. And then there was another team called the Vegan Three?
Yeah.
Something like
that.
The Gluten Three.
That was it, yeah, because it was the Gluten Three, but then started putting vegan stuff in there, and I was like, shouldn't we be focusing more on the gluten-free side of this?
And they were just kind of like... Like, that there was the Orange, who was just this big fat guy painted orange, who made orange puns.
You know, because there's all of that gluten within oranges that they're
it's
known
vegan.
For.
And orange is definitely
gluten-free
vegan.
Gluten-free doesn't mean vegan. Like, that's where that doesn't work. It's because they're a vegan group called Gluten-Free.
This is why I liked it so much. Anyway, who I thought was you, thank God we've got El Fakeador around to protect us from that happening again. There was a fake Luke who impostered his way into the show. We said, look, this was very weird. We like how stupid and contrived it is, but we just need a bit more from you. And Joel Bevan has got back in touch addressing our points. So I haven't actually read this because I wanted to be surprised on air.
I believe it's a long email.
I thoroughly enjoyed watching you and Luke, in quotes, pick apart my crap feud. When I wrote it, I was not expecting so many questions to arise. Maybe they're a first-time listener then. As I intended it for it to be crap. However, clearly, it is not crap enough. That's a common misconception. It's not that it's crap enough. It's got to be the right kind of crap.
Exactly. You've got to think these things through. You can't just say they're covered in poop and consider that a gimmick.
So I'm writing to further explain this crap feud in hope that it gets signed. Sorry it's been a while. This needed time. So here it goes. So yeah, that it's, remember, this isn't just characters. They are only coming in as an entire feud and faction. It's like how crap federations would book the Malenko Eddie Guerrero match.
Yeah, right,
we're only coming into this territory if we get to run this storyline. So number one, why do I have so much time on my hands to write in-depth crap imaginary feuds and frequently email you? I currently have a broken ankle at the moment, and making your videos is probably my biggest achievement in the past few months.
Oh.
So if I appear proud, I am. Well done, Joel Bevan.
For breaking your ankle.
But protect your ankle next time. Number two, V. Egan and the Gluten 3 were the two ideas I came up with first, and trying to find who can go in the Gluten 3 is what led me to create the orange and the highlight peel, because that was the oranges. That was the oranges talk show segment.
Yeah.
They were the main part of the feud, hence the small detail with BLT, as they were only really used for the lettuce and tomato heel turn.
Which I did like. That was good.
Who are Brian and Ed? Brian and Ed are two small, identical twins who wear all white singlets and massive bread costumes, which makes it difficult to wrestle in. This is good.
Oh, no, I'm losing it already.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not dismissing it just yet.
You know, like when you put breads on bits of on cats, you put their, it's called breading.
Oh.
You cut a little hole in the top of a slice of bread, and cats will just quite happily have that on their face. So it looks like you've got a loaf of bread and a cat.
Mm. Oh, no, I see what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah, I could picture
it's
it.
A thing.
Okay,
it's a big thing.
You say so.
It's the internet is pretty much it. Their individual finisher is the bread basket, but their team finisher is the sandwich.
This I do like.
Where the opponent stands dazed in the middle of the ring for some reason, so Brian and Ed can bounce off opposite sides of the ropes to sandwich their opponent in the middle. Their catchphrase is, have you seen it?
Yep.
Brilliant. Love us or loaf us.
That's lovely stuff. Now I'm in.
This is, so Brian, we could just sign Brian and Ed right away. Because that's, they don't need to be part of the feud or the other bits. But if they need, like, if Joel Bevan won't allow it, I mean, I'm happy to sign bread now.
I quite like bread. I would get rid of the bread costumes. I would just have the sort of the white singlets. I think that's more than enough. I think the
what
bread,
about hot
I think
dog
the bread
bun costumes?
I think the bread costume complicates it unnecessarily.
Okay, number four, Lettuce and Tomato are a female tag team, except Tomato, who is non-gender binary, as nobody knows whether she's a man or a woman or if she's a fruit or a vegetable.
Nice.
That's great. They both dress up in Lettuce and Tomato costumes and paint their faces accordingly. Their finisher is the Salad Slam, which is just a crappy body slam with a crapper name, as I can't think of a creative pun. If you can think of a better one, then I'll allow you to change it.
Oh, you'll allow us. Thank you very much.
Five, Bacon is a rotund, greasy man who dresses in a bacon costume, a rasher to be precise. His finisher, as I mentioned before, is the Hangover Cure, which is basically a guillotine choke submission. He uses this as he claims going to sleep is the way to cure a hangover. If he has to pin his opponent, he can use his other finisher, the Last Fried.
Instead of the Last Ride.
The reason for forming BLT is because he claims they make a good combination. At the start of the feud, he is the Intercontinental
Breakfast Champion. That's good.
That's really good. Number six. How many have we got here?
I was going to say this is a long old evening.
Nine. Oh, Jesus. And there's a bit more at the bottom.
Yeah.
Maybe we only do one crap gimmick today.
I did think when I saw this in the running order that you were very, it was bold to do all of it.
The Gluten 3. All of their finishers are standard DDTs, not glorious ones. The Gluten 3 DT, because they all have their own DDT, is, as you said, Ollie, the girls hold the legs while the orange plants the DDT. Teresa Green and V. Egan are friends, as V. Egan came to the aid of Teresa that when the Axe Man was trying to cut her down. So that's just another character added to this story. The orange managed to get them on side, as he is so smooth.
Yeah, Teresa, it doesn't work for me either.
I'm not into the. I like the orange. I like the visual of the orange and the highlight peel.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the orange, the highlight peel, that I think works. But the V. Egan stuff and the Gluten 3, it's not working for me.
Gluten 3 is funny.
Yes.
The DDTs are good, but the. The other, yeah, they fall apart a bit. Orange has juicy bits. So maybe he's not so smooth. Who is the Axeman? Thank God they've answered that question. A crazy-looking bearded guy who cuts promos.
Nice.
And occasionally walks down to the ring just to cut up the announce tables during matches. His finisher is the Axe, which is actually just a spear, but he claims the Axe is more powerful.
Can I present two issues we've got so far?
Mm-hmm.
A, we already have Chris P. Bacon, so do we want another person on the roster called Bacon?
Mm.
That's just, you know, I'm putting that out there. Also, we have the Lumberjack, so we wouldn't need another person doing an Axeman gimmick.
That's also, a good point.
The Lumberjack has the Axe Smash, which is a much better pun.
Plus, the way to get round your crap gimmick bookings pitfalls is not to add more characters. Just a bit of advice for everyone. Eight.
It's like Lost. When they were really struggling to find what the end of Lost was going to be, they just like, we'll just add another character in. That never worked.
It
never
Flashbacks. Flash forwards.
Flash forwards.
Flash sideways.
It never fixed anything. It just made it more worse.
Origin of the feud. V. Egan is cutting an anti-meat segment on the highlight peel until saying how meat smells and tastes horrible, and then Bacon interrupts with the rest of her on the entourage by saying his girlfriend has never questioned the way he tastes.
Gross.
It's a bit attitude here, really. V. Egan responds by saying how sexist the comment was and how she's filing a grievance to Human Resources, so Bacon then tells her to shut up and... Wow. Okay, this is taking a turn.
Bearing in mind, I think they're meant to be the baby faces.
Yeah, so what the sort of issue here, Joel, is that you're sort of presenting misogyny in quite a favourable light.
Yeah.
That you don't want to put the audience in a position where they cheer for misogyny and things that have sort of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, there's a line there that I think is, oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's no good.
No.
He goes on to claim that he would squash the Orange in a match. This is good because there's so many good puns. He didn't even need that bit. This pisses the Orange off, so he gets off his sun lounger and puts down his orange juice to angrily speak to Bacon and explains how he is the only one allowed to make orange-related puns. So this is fleshing out what the highlight peel looks like. Nice. He's just like reclining under some sun lounger. That's good.
Again, I like the orange.
He then claims he would peel the Intercontinental Breakfast title off of Bacon. Bacon then says that the Orange has clearly been smoking the same stuff as V. Egan if he thinks that he can beat him in a fight. He accepts the challenge for the title and makes the match for Great Balls of Crap. On the go-home show for Great Balls of Crap, the Orange...
It's a fantasy booking warfare.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? The Orange cuts a segment on the highlight peel. Bacon... Well, there's a lot of swearing in this. This is a PG promotion. Bacon said that he can squash me at Great Balls of Crap, but he is clearly lacking the vitamins as he's taking complete ball S-word. I shouldn't be surprised as, after all, his dad is a pig. Crowd goes, oh, damn. And guess what? So is his mum.
Oh, dearie me.
Damn! The crowd. So, again, you've put in crowd reactions, which isn't strictly allowed.
We are not WWE. We're not going to predict how the crowd are going to react.
Your comments, Bacon, have made me sour. And trust me, you won't like me when I'm sour. So this Sunday, you're not getting smooth, OJ. You're getting OJ with bits. And it's going to be a sweet victory when the Orange brings home the bacon. Now that's juicy! Mic drop.
Yeah.
So juicy's been written out in capitals.
But again, I always thought that the Orange... was almost like, was a manager. It was like Slick. It was like Brother Love.
Mm.
They're not really, like, the feud is now between Bacon and Orange.
Which, those are the two strongest characters.
Yeah, but I see more as the pallbearer of this team as opposed to the Undertaker
now,
of this team.
I always saw Orange as a big fat guy who wrestled. Big fat guy in orange Speedos who paints the rest of his body orange.
Okay, I mean, I think it works better as a manager, but that's just me.
This then leads to the heel turn of Lettuce and Tomato, so that Orange is the new Intercontinental Breakfast Champion, so he has a family celebration the next night with Clementine and Tangerine.
Cool, add more characters, that's the way to make it work.
Only for a returning apple to spoil the celebration to say he is appalled.
Appalled.
Appalled. by the outcome, as he would be a nicer champion, as he believes people prefer him. To end the promo, he threatens to turn the orange into pulp before saying his catchphrase.
Take a guess. How do you like them apples? Yeah, it's to be continued.
Or not.
Probably not.
That's what they've written. Hopefully that's enough depth for you, and enjoy the crap orange puns. And he's put three big orange emojis there.
Yeah, I think there's almost too much in there. There's stuff that I don't get on with. There's certainly stuff in there that I don't think particularly works. I think that there are some strong characters in there, but there are some others that are just completely weighing this all down.
Yeah, yeah, and you haven't really, like...
This isn't a complete feud either.
It's just promos. It's just promos and more characters.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few, apart from the really good highlight peel segment with, you know, that line we're just going to tuck away.
Just tuck that to one side.
That's the only real segment bit of action that advances the story. But I like bread. I like the orange in its current iteration.
I would sign those three. And then tell the rest of them to go off to another
because
territory.
We've got the crispy bacon.
Yes.
And we can package bread with him.
Yes.
But Joel has said that it's only the whole freaking universe
or nothing. Oh, well, then if that's the case, I'll take now then, mate.
Please send in with your broken ankle if you're happy for our conditional offer of just the orange and bread.
It's the only ones I'm interested in.
But we are not interested in any of the other characters or a lot of the storyline. But we will adapt parts to fit the crispy bacon.
What I would also say as well is you want to consult with them as well. You know, consult with the talents because, I mean, hey, you know, when the Radicals came over to the WWF in 2000, part of the deal was that Conan and Shane Douglas was going to come with them, but WWF were only interested in those four. They didn't say, like, oh, we're just going to stick around with our friends here. They went off to greener pastures. So, yeah, you know.
The talents might all want to come together. They could band together.
Or they might not.
That's crazy. Independent wrestlers forming some kind of union. That will never work. They're too egotistical. So just a bit of exciting news before we get out of here. We're going to have to skip the mailbag segment, I'm afraid.
Well, yeah, we've gone very long on this one crap gimmick.
And it's the crap gimmicks from next week onwards. If we sign a crap gimmick, we will have... Oh, my God, I've forgotten his name. Why did I not write this in the notes?
This was teased. So if you're a listener to the Wrestle Ramble podcast version of this show, you'll know that Ollie teased this on Wednesday's episode, or it might have been Tuesday's episode as well. But we do have a big announcement for the crap gimmick by an excellent person who got in touch with us.
Yes, he is called Lewis Tillett, and he is a very talented... A comic book artist and illustrator, and you can check him out on social media at Lewis Tillett Art, or you could say Lewis Tillett Tart. We'll have the link in the video description below, and he will be turning crap gimmicks that we sign into a full character design. We'll put it up on the website. We'll talk about it in the Wrestle Talk news. It's cool. We're going to finally start.
Cool.
What's that in? Like 9 months in, and we're finally fleshing out this universe.
That's right.
He's
yeah.
working on WrestleBot 1000 right now. He did say, you know, should we do the fishmonger? No. We'll never do the fishmonger. He's a C-plus player. I'm starting the outro for once. Ooh.
Certainly are.
So I guess the anecdote is, unbeknownst to everyone, I am 3 weeks deep into a creative writing course.
Now, you told me about this shortly before I was kidnapped, and I was very excited to hear about you going into creative writing course, because if I remember correctly, you signed up for it by accident.
Not by accident. I was in that 3-day fast, and I was just doing anything. If I saw a task... You know, like usually you procrastinate and you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I had to do it because I just was so hungry. So I would just, I literally saw a creative writing course down the road in a cafe, like a little leaflet. I thought, okay.
Is it the cafe and radio repair shop?
No, not that one. Okay. So, and I just picked it up and I booked it. Just like 60 quid. Spent so much money on that day purely because I was just like, we need that, we need that, we need that. Bought. I bought 40 quid worth of socks that day.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Because like I didn't have, I just couldn't be bothered to research. Just had to do everything really quickly. So I go onto ASOS. Yeah, those will do. And I didn't really total it up and I end up spending 40 quid on socks. Like 70 quid on non-iron shirts. That I don't need. Oh.
Man alive.
Yeah, it was a hell of a... Anyway, I did say that the creative writing, though, was one of the plus points because I've always wanted to... I'm sure you do as well. Like, you write down little ideas, or this would be a cool idea for a comic, this would be a cool idea for a story. That's essentially the creative outlet we use for fantasy booking.
Yes.
It's very fun to... And doing the fantasy booking to the extent that it's become, where it's actually quite competitive and tens of thousands of people watch it, and vote on who's the best. It sent me down that rabbit hole, and I thought, you know, I've always wanted to write that sci-fi epic I dreamt up when I was 14. So I thought, how on earth do I do that? And we had to do a plot synopsis of the thing we wanted to write.
Well, do you want to go through your first 2 weeks first?
The first week, I just it was just like getting to know everyone, and I misjudged how everything you write is read out and analysed.
Well, I see.
He said, like, do some free writing on these stimuluses, and he said, dread, and I wrote down quite an intimate, horrible sexual experience. Just, you know, just...
Oh, when you said dread, I instantly went, judge.
No. I just, like, wrote down that, and just thinking it's free writing. It's not edited. We'll probably take it home, edit it. Read it out.
Oh.
And I read it, but I was... picking and choosing which bits I was leaving out, but it still sounded like an asshole.
Yeah, okay.
But the week after, it's a lovely group of people.
What sort of age range?
Probably, I'd say, late 20s to mid 30s.
Okay, yeah. Nice. So it's all about you. Yeah. Your age rather than like...
Our age.
Yeah.
Mostly chicks as well.
Well, they are the most creative.
Mm. And then the week after, we had to write a poem, and they said... You know, I didn't really want to write poetry, but I thought, okay, I can use this as an exercise to work on the big sci-fi thing, right? And I emailed him and I said, I know you want us to write a poem on childhood memories. I didn't say this, but that literally has no appeal to me in any universe. Can I write one based, you know, to try and develop, to use these, to like learn these techniques, but while developing this idea? And he was like, by the way, it's about black holes. And he said, that's absolutely fine. He's a really flexible teacher. And he said that there's not enough poems about black holes. So
he's not wrong.
I read the... I did the... Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. Oh, what? Have you got it on you?
Yeah, it's in my Evernote.
I would love to hear it.
I mean, I don't think anyone there listens to this, but I think it was the best poem. But so it wasn't meant to rhyme.
Fair enough.
But it accidentally sometimes does.
Okay.
Okay. Let me... By the way, this isn't ego. This is more along the lines of you telling everyone your body fat.
Yes.
Because if I do this, it'll hopefully make me do it more.
Accountability.
Yes. So this is called A Never Hole. Do you yawn with a mouth so wide, agape, endless night upon your face? None can hear you yawn in space. But you must mourn for a light that once burned bright, a star for planets for life. You killed them, consumed them, took them with you, caved in from duty's weight. Do you glare with your dead black eye at those that lived? Do you lust, a bottomless, envious lust, forever eating, never completing, a hole, never whole. I think you roar, a deafened, primal roar, because I once heard thunder where sound has no place.
Wow. So that was, so you were talking to the black hole.
Yeah, well, it's a character talking to the black hole.
Mm.
Yes, and the black hole obviously never replies. These are all projections.
Mm. That's very good.
I thought it was okay.
That's actually very nice. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't really understand poetry, and I always struggle with it during English literature when I was doing my A-levels. and I could never write it. So kudos to you, man. I think that's really impressive.
It was so the limit was 35 lines. A lot of people did 35 lines. Mine's 18.
I think that is a perfect length for a poem.
Yeah, I thought just chop it down as much. But yeah. Yes, so it's, yeah, I pitched the, so this is the actual anecdote part. This was this week's, which was yesterday, happened yesterday. And I was really, I was actually quite nervous about this because I'm sure everyone's got that one thing that they've had in their head forever, like the film or the big epic TV series that you're going to make. And you've had it since you were a teenage boy or girl. And this is my one. And I went in and I, you know, wrote it out. It was the 350 word limit. Again, I was the only one who stuck to that. And I said it. And I'm saying bits. And I wrote it. And it's always been in my head as a semi-serious piece. But it's essentially a sci-fi action romp with a lot of comedy from the characters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everything beneath is serious. Like, you know, the actual subject matter you treat serious, but yes. You can have a lot of fun around that. And
you treat the subject matter seriously, but not yourself.
Yes. So I would say it was a 20% funny, 80% serious synopsis, because it was mainly just like, this happens, this happens, this happens. And I'm two lines in, and people are laughing at me. Like, people are laughing, and I'm just like, oh my God. And I just got, like, I just zoned out and just concentrated on finishing it. But I felt like this, it felt like a massive fart in my stomach. Like, it was just like this awful bloat. And then at the end, I looked up and everyone had smiles on their faces. And I was like, okay, they're not bad smiles. And they said it was very Hitchhiker's Guide, which is way wackier than I intended it to be.
I was going to say. Yeah. That's like 100% comedy.
That's ultimate. I would put that at 10 on the wacky scale.
Yeah.
But that was nice. The best thing was that the teacher sat back and went, that's a series.
Hello, mate. Yeah. Hello.
Because it was really dense. And I was like, okay, that's good. Because I thought I might have to cram it all into one book. But this is, you know, there's a lot. So that's nice.
See, are you actually going to write this?
Well, I guess so.
Yes, mate. Yes. Love it. We need more people writing stuff. I'm convinced my wife's writing something at the moment. I'm trying to push her to writing more of it as well. This is good stuff, man. This is good stuff. And I'm looking forward to reading it when it's published.
Yeah. Self-published through WrestleTalk Press.
But that doesn't matter. It's still published.
Yeah. You can put a blog out. So, yes, I don't really know how I'm going to proceed from here, I guess.
Well, how many more lessons have you got? Or classes?
Two more. But I'm going to pitch to everyone because it is very local to me. That we just continue meeting up.
Oh, I like that. Good. Yes, I like it.
So like 2 hours a week. Because it is really useful. Like, I wouldn't do any of this if it wasn't for having to sit in front of everyone and read stuff out.
Yeah, totally. Like when I used to work at a telecommunications company, let's put it that way, there was, in a creative writing sense, I was writing copy for websites.
Yeah.
And we would get together because that's very much like a formulaic company does this, that, and the other. So we all got together as like these creative minds to kind of like have our little creative output. But I was not the right guy, because they were all like writing poetry and what I would say writing proper things, whereas I only really like writing non-fiction.
Yeah.
And I felt very uncomfortable handing people these things, being like, yeah, I've written this non-fiction thing. It's not really creative writing, I don't think, but can I still be part of your group, because I really like coming here because it helps me like write stuff.
And they were totally fine. They would have been totally
fine. They were friends of mine anyway, so like they were kind of fine with it. But yeah, then they would like do their proper stuff and I'd be like, oh no, you're way better at this than I am. But man, like this is great. Like a writing group is something that's really cool to be a part of.
Yeah, well, they haven't said yes yet. I haven't asked them, so I hope.
Well, I think they will. I've got a good feeling about it, man.
Cool.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Maybe I'll release short stories in some version.
Well, maybe
just A/B test stuff.
Maybe on Ramble Club. Maybe 1 month we won't do Big Apple Takedown.
No, you'd rip my story apart.
We'll do your story. I'll be the reader. And then
oh god,
you can be like the sounding board.
That sounds that's like my worst nightmare. But that's all we've got time for today, unless you've got anything else.
No, I don't think so. I've said an exciting email, but yeah, apart from that, not really.
Oh, well, you can tell me off air. We will see you on maybe Monday for a bit of Dominion chat. If not, we will see you on Tuesday as usual for Raw. And it's coming. It's Money in the Bank week.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, but we'll see you then. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.